I know the DJ.
Do you?
You gotta 90s baby, stand up. You're coming back because I'm blowing in it. Pause. I take my craft serious.
Get the hell out of here. I don't owe you shit.
Last night, I got so fucking high and watched Oppenheimer for the first time.
Get out of here.
Oh my God, dude. This was fucking sick.
Did you do edibles? You smoke?
Edibles, yeah. So I ran 18 miles
yesterday.
I was
going to say, you're in the marathon ground, so you
got to
do that.
I ran 18 miles yesterday, and I got home, and I was like, just my leg's gone. And I was like, you know, I'm not really going to do much else that day. You know what I mean?
I mean, you ran 18 miles.
Yeah. I'm like, what else do you want from me? And I'm like, dude. And I had just seen that Oppenheimer was on Peacock. And I have Peacock, right?
Of course.
And I was like, dude. Like, I hadn't seen it yet, but it won all the awards and shit. And I'm like, yo, I have to see this shit. And I was like, oh, you know, it would be perfect is if I just, like, rest the rest of the night, just get high as fuck and watch Oppenheimer. Oh, my God. What an amazing time it was.
Were you able to follow? So I've never seen the movie.
You haven't seen it?
Dude, haven't seen the movie. I know what it's about.
Watch it high. Yeah. It was fucking awesome. It was sick.
What'd you do with the explosion?
Dude, so they don't show the Japanese explosions. They show the tests.
The tests.
But they only show their reaction to, who was it, Eisenhower? Or no, Truman, whichever president it was that did it.
Don't ask me.
They just show like their reaction to hearing it on the radio and being like, holy shit, they did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't show those explosions.
Why am I going to watch that movie?
But it was sick. It was sick. Just the crazy. And I think what was most interesting, and again, if you just know anything about the movie, like there's like, it's like a crazy star-studded cast. And it's not just like the initial cast is really strong. It's like even like the people with like one line.
Yeah.
You'll be like, yo, that's fucking XYZ, and they don't like even say anything.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else was in it that made like some crazy cameos. There were a lot of
Josh
cameos.
Peck was in it.
Oh, dude, that's right. I saw that. Matt Damon, I think, was in it.
Yeah, and Rami Malek was in it.
Yep.
And doesn't say anything till like hour two. Yeah, it's like, but that's what I'm saying. He's an Academy Award winner.
Right.
Like, dude, you know what I mean? And it's like he's just there and he's not talking.
Who is it? Christopher Nolan, director?
Christopher
that
Nolan,
one?
Yeah. But it was fucking sick.
Dude, I dabble a little bit with some gambling.
Oh, do you?
A little bit. Dude, I almost put in like a ton of money because like they have the Academy Awards on DraftKings.
Oh, yeah. Which is nuts, which is fucking crazy.
And but. I'm like, obviously like Oppenheimer, all the things were like favorites, like minus money. You know what I mean?
Super.
I only bet plus signs. That's where you get your value. But the one I did almost like drain,
DJ Cammy V.
The one I almost drained the account on was like best score for like a movie, like the sound.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Dude, you're telling me the movie that did a fucking atomic bomb isn't gonna win?
Nah.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
It wasn't that. It was visually amazing. And it didn't win.
I think it did. Yeah.
Oh, it did.
I mean,
it won everything.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah, it won everything. But
could be wrong. Actually, fact check. Maybe I would have lost that bet.
Speaking of gambling, you hear about the Bruno Mars stuff?
Yo, I can't wait to go see that. The Usher treatment that he's gonna get when he's working for free to pay off those.
So
debts.
For those who don't know, Bruno Mars is apparently owes. Is it the MGM?
MGM in Vegas.
In Vegas, $50 million. Dollars. $50 million. Kitty.
We do not bet.
Throw me a freaking bone. All I want is, was it sharks?
Sharks with
freaking lasers beams on their heads.
We do not nibble kitty. We pet kitty.
So fucking Bruno Mars is a degenerate gambler, apparently. I guess cut from the same cloth as our own KMEV here.
I ain't got money like that. That's crazy. That's like Michael Jordan money
right there. But low key. Okay, so apparently he owes so much money to the MGM from gambling that he owes 50 mil, apparently makes 90 mil a year, apparently. But you know how that works. It's taxes and all this bullshit. So dude is down bad. And so people are speculating that he's going to have to owe them a residency, basically, to make. Because 50 million is like a lot of fucking money.
I will say I did see something earlier today that claimed, I think either MGM or Bruno's people, which wouldn't surprise me, came out and said that wasn't true. But
Low key though, like Bruno.
If
being
I
the
if
whole,
I see him, if I see him doing that MGM residency,
we all know
that
why,
fucking
yeah.
shit is real. That's right.
But Bruno, low key, like just bringing back, like you know, Silk Sonic and stuff, like bringing back that big like 70s, 80s, coked out. I'm just kind of out here making the best music of my life, but living a crazy lifestyle vibe. Pretty well
fits,
dude. Walks the walk.
It fits, bro. It fits.
Dude walks the walk. I respect it. Shout
bro,
out,
bro. But
Bruno,
he was. I mean, he's been doing shit for a while. Like, yeah. Like he definitely dabbles with some gambling. Definitely dabbles with some drugs. Like that's no
yeah.
surprise.
I fuck with it, man. Dude's a raw talent, man. So yeah. Shout out, Bruno, man.
Impressive.
Hey, own that debt, bro.
Yeah, pick better horses, bro.
Yeah. Dude, fuck it. How was your St. Paddy's? We just had St. Paddy's Day this past weekend. Took me out, man. How was your St. Paddy's?
Dude, it was a hell of a day. Shout out producer Dylan. DJ DMG held it down over at West End Johnny's.
Johnny
got there about like 10 o'clock. Didn't leave till about 6.
Yeah,
bro.
Sounds
line
right.
down the street, probably starting at like 12:30. Like it was slammed. I actually had someone from Ireland come up to me at one point, and he was like, "Oi, like, can you play me some Irish tunes?" Blah blah blah. I'm like,
"Is that an Irish accent?"
Sounds about what? Right.
Sound a little. I don't know.
Oi, laddie, can you play me some Irish tunes, lad?
Okay, that was better. All yeah, right. Yeah, that was
sorry,
better.
Brother. I was rushing.
If I in. Closed my eyes, I was like, he might be Indian. or Dominican. I don't know.
No, not Dominican. Yeah. Wow. No.
I was like, let me close my eyes.
Dominican, that's crazy.
Yo.
Dominican would be like, my friend.
No.
Yo.
That was great.
Yo, wait.
Oh,
wait, Kerry. Do the accent again.
I don't think I can.
Yo, do the accent. What do you say?
Oi, let it. Play me some Irish tune.
Oh God! And why'd you play? You play some shit? What'd you play?
Bro, I'm like, I'm Italian. You think I know what that is?
Who's the best? Ed Sheeran's Italian. Ed Sheeran's Irish, right? He asked me with the head of hair like that. You gotta be.
He's
Irish, right?
Galway? Is Galway in Ireland? Galway's in Ireland. I don't know if he's Irish, though. Can we fact check that, producers? I don't know if he is.
He was born in Halifax, West Yorkshire, England.
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't think he was.
So he's. Is that Brit? Is that that's British, right?
Yeah.
But what's his accent? And he has a British accent? I mean, it's all the same. He was on Game of Thrones, wasn't he? See, everything. It's just, he's on. Dude's a madman. Yeah. If someone asked me to play Irish music, I would have played Ed Sheeran. You imagine you should play Shape of You?
yeah, bro. Hell of a day, man. Really, really held it down. Energy was super high. Yeah. It was actually, Phil, producer Phil has got a picture of this. There was actually some girl walking around with a box of Lucky Charms. And I was like, bro.
Yeah, that's a thing. It's like a thing that the Gen Zers, right? Right, Dylan? Are doing?
Is that what they're doing on the TikTok?
Is that what they're doing on the Ticking Talk?
Yeah, Southie, definitely.
Yeah.
So I was fucking starving. I was like, lady, get your ass over here. please give me a couple.
And bird feed me some some Lucky Charms, please.
Please, yeah. So, man, great time. How was your day?
It was good. It was a good long day. You know, and the people were just getting after, man. I held down Fenway, and it was a really, really good party. It was just one of those things that we were able to play everything. You know, we really just touched everything. We didn't, like, I don't think repeated really any records.
Nice.
Through the 6 hours, and...
That's a good day.
You know, it was a lot of fun, good energy. Fuck, man, people just ready to party. And the fact that people came out at night, too, is, like, crazy.
Bro, I don't know how they do that, yeah. Because when I was done at 6, I'm like,
I was
I'm going home.
Yeah, I was sober, and I was like,
I don't book myself that night for a reason. Mm. Bro, I'm getting fucking old, man. Like, yeah. I can't stand for that long.
The balls of my feet were...
screaming.
Were throbbing.
I definitely got varicose veins now.
Oh, not the varicose
Think
veins.
About it, dude.
That's tough.
I'll be wearing pants forever.
You know, wanted to shout out some people, like we always say, bringing in questions. Love answering y'all's questions and just talking about the DJ stuff. I know the last couple episodes when we talked about DJ stuff, people were really, really into it. So shout out everybody being involved that way. Send in some questions. I got some questions that it's sad to say that Fingers isn't here with us, but you know, kid misses out. What can you do? Got a couple questions here.
Should I answer like Fingers? Should I put my hood on? And...
we can all.
Let's do it.
Okay, Fingers is here with us. If you're watching on YouTube or Spotify or whatever the case is, Fingers is definitely.
I'm not mad. I'm just enthusiastic.
I'm just. You know, it's just I'm just gonna tell it like it is. I'm just gonna tell it like it is. I'm a Sagittarius.
I'm not mad. I'm just a Sagittarius.
But a couple questions here. A question: why do DJs make/use edits? What even is an edit compared to, say, a remix? Great question.
That's a great question.
We're both people that make edits.
All the time. I sent you one literally 20 minutes before I came here.
Did you?
Thanks for listening.
When did you send that? You said
fine.
No, you gave the audio. You didn't send it to me.
No, you showed me a preview. I showed you a snippet. Yeah, just I should have clarified.
Gaslight me.
Thanks for listening.
And I know why I make edits is a couple reasons. Is I like to make... like live versions or playable versions that will be specific to me, mm-hmm. and that will make my set sound unique.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then another reason is getting a song and making like a club version of it, or like, that's fucking.
Is that you?
Yeah. Sorry. Club version of it. Or if it's like, hey, like this song is really good, but if it's structured differently, if it's shorter, mm-hmm. just take out this shitty verse, whatever, rearrange it. That'll be better for my set or easier to be played on.
All the time. I think the two biggest reasons, you know, I've had DJ say to me too, they're like, dude, you just know like what parts of the songs that people want to hear. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my personal edits really are cutting down the fat of like songs and like, yep, I'm going to hit these points that people want to sing to, that people, you know, people want to move to.
Yeah.
And then the other point is, which, you know, sometimes there was early on in like my edit making career, I wouldn't send edits to people because the edits were like very unique to me and would only make sense to me because it was like, hey, I have an idea of like what I want to transition from this song.
Yeah.
Let me make
that transition happen. Let me make an edit.
Cause yeah. I do probably like 99% of my transitions live anyways. Like I don't really rely on edits. You know, so I just use, I like cut it or like I'll turn something into an acapella. I mean, now we don't have to do it as much with stems, but
yeah,
I'll restructure the song in a way that, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, like I can do a wordplay if it's structured this way, or like I can put an acapella there and I can scratch out, you know, so I make edits that make sense to me and make my set sound differently. I guess it's the same as you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as I've gotten better with Ableton, that's what I make my edits on is, now I've been making really like much more complicated and like, just more musical things, mm-hmm. Where again, I'm like, okay, like the vocal on this thing and the instrumental of this thing with a little bit of that all together will make something better. And then I'll make a lot of my intros on Ableton too. So again, these are mostly things that help make my set sound more unique, that I have versions of songs that no one else has and or be able to, you know, just... make better transitions. Like I have a lot of like drop in versions of songs where it's like, and it'll just be like an acapella or something, an impact or something like that. And that allows me to go that direction if I need it.
Bro. Yeah. Those are so, I use yours all the time because those are so useful. Like, all right, let me get out of this. What's like the cleanest
reset,
way
reset,
for me to do it.
Yeah. Reset
Boom.
The room.
And then like acapella, it's like everyone turns their head, you know, you always get a good reaction.
Yeah. But I think with edits too, like bad edit isn't what I want to say. I think it's like edits that like didn't need to exist. Like you could have left this in the vault. Mm. I think it's very easy to make just like stuff just to make it.
Like low hanging fruit edits are you talking about?
Well, low hanging fruit edits, but also just like edits that you can't play anywhere because like it's not like no one asked for this.
You know, I mean? that's an amazing point. And, you know, I have friends that will like send me stuff and it's like, yeah, that's cool, but like, when would you ever like use that? Like, I'm genuinely curious because like usually I just view like music differently just from like what we do professionally, and it's like I'm like, dude, when can I play this? Where can I play this? Are there parts of this song that I can play at some places if I structure it differently or make it sound different? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I'm with you though. There's definitely some edits and I'm just like, yeah, no, you definitely do not need to go out, take an hour out of your day to go do that.
Yeah.
But I guess to answer the question of what's different between an edit and a remix, I'd say remixes are, you know, you have producers that pretty much like, I don't want to say like make a different sound from scratch, but they take like, you know, they put a different like,
they rework the song. They rework the song. Yeah.
I guess like the best way to like, you know, you can make anything like almost, you can make almost anything an EDM remix, which is like, you can turn like a low tempo song into an up tempo song, put four to the floor, like drums behind it, do like piano key behind it. That's more of what a remix would be.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. Next question is real quick. As a DJ, how do you learn how to read a room? Is the process the same in every venue? Is it even something that can be taught, or do you need to have a natural, you need to have natural people skills?
Bro, these questions are amazing. I'll let you take this one first, and then we'll go.
All right. So, reading a room. I think there's an inevitable psychology that is not teachable of just, like, awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there are some people that I think are just, like, more socially aware than others.
Yep.
So I think if you have that, again, social awareness is huge with DJing. And then reading a room is also just, like, again, I think social media plays such a big part in this, where I think if you're, that's why I think it's important to be on social media and just like seeing how people act, seeing how people follow trends, like having your ears to those, to the streets in that sense can really help you with reading a room. I think what I'm seeing a lot of issues that DJs have right now, especially like when I have openers come in and they're playing these rooms for the first time, is they'll overly stereotype people or overly judge a crowd. And for example, I think Boston is a notably white city. Sorry. No. I just burped again, and Cammy just got a whiff of it again. Sorry. So earlier I ate meatballs, and I burped really bad, and I just did it again, and I forgot that I got a. Sorry, Cammy. I'm just keep rolling though. So Boston is inevitably very, very white, right? It's a very white city. You know, whether you like it or not. And there'll be nights where, let's say it's a Latin night or a hip hop night, inevitably lots of white people are going to still go. You know what I mean? Just because white people are in attendance doesn't mean as a DJ, does the right way to read that room isn't like, okay, a lot of white people, that means I need to play the whitest fucking music I have. That's not what that means.
No.
You have to understand how the identity of a night goes, who's promoting the night, who booked you, and what they've told you. So the right, if I'm playing a hip hop night, right, and it has been a hip hop night for months, and the promoter promotes it as a hip hop night, and the promoter told me it is a fucking hip hop night, guess what? It's a hip hop night. If a ton of white people walk into said hip hop night, this doesn't turn into fucking Winter Wonderland, the whitest fucking shit, fucking play the Golden Girls theme song type thing. That's not what it turns into. What that means is, here's a bunch of white people that like hip hop music and wanted to come to the hip hop night because they're white people that like hip hop music.
Guess what? I'm one of them.
You know what I'm saying? So I've seen DJs look up and be like, okay, white people are here, and they just start playing crazy ass shit, bro. Like shit where I look at them and I go, bro, what the fuck are you doing? Oh, there's white people here. So fucking what? I'm brown, and I like hip hop a lot. If I walk in, are you gonna start playing fucking cumbia,
bachata?
Are you gonna start playing fucking? I'll be like, yo, what the fuck? You know what I mean? I came here for hip hop. That's you not reading a crowd correctly. Mm. Again, the crowd doesn't is reading a crowd isn't necessarily looking at the individuals, but it's understanding the context of the night, the event that you're being booked for. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that's great.
So you need to be able to understand your role, understand your job, and the kind of people that are there. There are songs. The beauty about music is there are songs, there are bridge gapping songs. There are songs that can kind of be accepted by X, but can be played at Y. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And those are songs that you use to be able to bridge the gap. You know, you use to, hey, like, can I, okay, this confirms if I can get away with more. Let's look at a song like Calm Down, right? Afrobeat song. Huge out, like the biggest, most mainstream Afrobeat song, besides like Joanna or something like that. Joanna too, if I'm at a predominantly, you know, let's say white crowd, but I want to go there, I want to see what kind of Afrobeats I can get away with, I start playing those two records, Joanna and Calm Down, to see if I can go further into the Afrobeats bag. If they know it and react well to it, that lets me know that they probably like Afrobeats.
Yeah, that's...
You see what I'm saying?
1,000,000%. There's no... There's... So I'd say this.
It's fucking this shit. Well,
if you didn't burp in my face, I'd keep the fan over there.
Sorry.
I'd say this. I think reading a room definitely comes with experience. Part of it is, like, just recognizing, like, energy. I think, and obviously, like, that... Cam, you sound fucking high out of your mind right now. I'm not. I feel like you can just tangibly feel the energy. And you should have, to Snacks's point, you should have feeler records that you play throughout the night to see, like, oh, okay, like, they responded to this a little bit earlier on. I'm going to go circle back to this later and see if I can go a little bit further than I did while still maintaining, like, the theme of the night. I think, like, if you don't have, like, your feeler songs for, like, certain genres, then you're really, like, playing... You're literally throwing invisible darts at an invisible dartboard.
Yeah, and another...
Like, you don't know what's going to...
Another example is, I remember I did, let's go the other way, right? I did, like, a brunch event where it was mostly black people in their 30s, right? I could look at that crowd and be like, okay, I can only play black people music, but that's stupid. People like music. And in this day and age, it's very easy to consume music and to discover music. So you would be very surprised of the kind of people that you see and the kind of music that they listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that viral video of that, like, super young white blonde girl rapping every Lil Baby lyric.
Yeah, that video is hilarious.
You know what I'm saying?
That's, like, the crowd that goes to...
That's the crowd that goes to the fucking Hip Hop Friday.
Yeah.
So if you look at that girl and you want to play Miley Cyrus, she's going to be like, yo, bump that Dirk. What the fuck is wrong with you? That's why I came here.
Murky.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you as a DJ, you look fucking stupid.
Yeah,
she'd be like, yo, I came here for the fucking hip. Where's the fucking
hip hop night? Yeah.
Oh, but little Jenny doesn't want... No, guess what? She drinks Hennessy and pulled up. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, if we're at the other... So I was at this... it was a bunch of, like, 30 plus day vibes. Everyone was black. I was the only, like, non-black person there. A record for me is This Love, Maroon 5, right? Bro, everybody loves this song. Everybody knows this song because it's a funky-ass record.
That's a jam.
And Adam fucking kills it, right?
Holy fucking fuck, you're so fucking hot.
That's a song that I see, how white can I get, right?
That's a feeler song.
So I play it and I see people, this, nah, and I'm like, yo, they fuck with this shit. And you know what's another one? As Long As You Love Me, Backstreet Boys. A song that, ready?
Yeah.
As Long As You Love Me by Backstreet Boys. If Boys to Men sang that song, one of the best R&B songs of all time.
All time.
It is that good of a song.
That's a great song. Bro, that's a great fucking song.
Come on, man.
But again, that's, like, also, like, riding... Those songs are riding the line of exactly what's in the room.
Yeah. Because this is an R&B song that's sang by white guys.
I'm assuming it was probably, like, either, like... Oh my goodness.
Turn this shit up. Hold on. So when I see people like, two-stepping it in and bumping it, I'm like, yeah, they fuck with it. They know what the vibes are, and then I can start digging.
Right.
If I just looked at the and people turning to me and being like, oh, like, shit, like, I don't hear this song a lot. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm fucking him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you have those feeler records, and reading a crowd is using the feeler records. Reading the crowd is not diving headfirst into what you think should be playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's where a lot of DJs fuck up.
Yeah. 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 I think, you know, there's an element of, like, if you go in, like, planning a set, there is, I'll say, especially in Boston, like, let's put it this way, right? Like, I'll go into a gig and be like, hey, I'll make a crate before I go into a gig and be like, hey, here's some songs that I want to bring back in the rotation for tonight.
Mm.
And that way it's like, you know, when in doubt, like, hey, is now a good time to mix this in? If I hit it, great. If I don't, no pressure. But if you go in and, like, try to plan an entire set, I can almost guarantee you, like, what you think could happen.
Yeah.
Like, you just get a completely different crowd.
Every time I've planned sets, I always leave it. Every time.
Yeah.
every time.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, it comes with experience, man. Comes with doing different rooms and comes with pushing boundaries and learn your feeler songs.
Yeah, but also just learn your genres.
Learn
right?
your genres.
Like, you can't figure out what your feeler songs are if you don't know what the genre is.
Correct.
So you need to practice, get yourself out of your comfort zone, start learning music that you don't know. Because guess what? Half of the music that I play at most of my gigs, I don't fucking like. You see what I'm saying?
Valid.
I don't just stick with the music that I like, because if I did, I would only be XYZ DJ. My goal is to be everybody's DJ, every party's DJ, be available for any kind of event. I need to learn every kind of event's music. So that means the music that does really well, the B-sides of that genre or that crowd or that scene, and then understand what songs are the Bridging the Gap songs, the feeler songs, and the songs that may be outside the genre but fit under that event. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to learn everything about it, and that's how you become really versatile. And so when it's time to be versatile, you can be versatile. Oh, great question. Let's do one more.
Yeah, let's do it.
How do you prepare for super long sets? Meaning 4+ hours. How do you prepare for that? How do you possibly prepare for a marathon set?
Years of experience, bro. Not my first rodeo doing a bar crawl. Know what to expect.
Shh, I love a good rodeo.
I was going to say something crazy. yeah, I mean, I think planning for those long sets, a couple things you got to know. There's definitely going to be a big turnover in the crowd throughout the day.
I'll turn you over.
Jesus Christ. Buy me a meatball dinner first, won't you? Yeah.
I'll give you a meatball dinner.
I don't even know what I'm going to say now. Bro, but like, that's crazy. You said marathon sets. I've done sets at the Boston Marathon.
Fucking talk to him, bro.
Let's go, baby. Come on. They don't know.
They don't know, man. They don't fucking know.
All fucking
check
day.
Check the resume.
I got there at 7 a.m.
Yeah, you did.
You kidding me?
Yep.
Parking in a residential neighborhood. Yeah. I was there.
He was there.
I set up.
Set up.
I put gas in the...
In the fucking generator.
In the generator. I got yelled at by pedestrians. I was there playing tunes all day. You think I'm not built like that? Are you nuts? You out of your freaking mind?
Out of your freaking mind? Fuck.
Yeah, bro.
Cammy's like that, son.
Gotta have deep pockets. Deep bags, bro. You gotta know. There's certain points in the day. You gotta hit different pockets for different people. Dude, don't stop. Power through.
You know.
Wear your TED stockings. You're gonna be standing for a while. Get a mat to stand on.
Get the Jimmy Johns on.
Get your fucking Jimmy Johns on. Yeah.
You know, speaking of white dudes being in crazy situations, you hear about the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight?
Woo-hoo!
Jesus Christ.
Jeez.
Mike Tyson, Iron Mike, the fucking freakazoid.
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson is returning to the ring. Yes, you heard that right. Tyson will face Jake Paul. What is he? What do they call him? The problem child, right?
Yeah.
Jake, the problem child, Paul. In a boxing match on July 20th at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys. You wouldn't know because they don't win. The YouTuber turned boxer, Paul, 9-1 with 6 KOs, has said recently he wants to go focus on fighting real boxers to eventually compete for a world title. Instead, he'll fight long-retired Tyson, 56-6, 44 KOs, a former heavyweight champion, and one of the best in boxing history. His last competitive fight was almost 19 years ago, a TKO loss to Kevin McBride in June of 2005. Tyson will be 58 when the fight takes place. Cammy, you're a big UFC guy. You're a big combat sports.
I dabble.
Aficionado. Kind of putting yourself to the ring yourself, doing some MMA training yourself, some Muay Thai.
Muay Thai, yes.
What are your thoughts on the matter?
Obviously, number one, good for them because they're both going to make a bag off this. This is also going to be, I believe it's the first live sporting event on Netflix for those.
Yeah, it is on Netflix.
So that's
live on Netflix, by the way. That's going to be electric.
Yeah, so they're going to make a ton of money off that. What do I think about the actual competition? Save your money, stud muffins. Don't fucking bother watching it.
Are you gambling on it?
God no, dude. Come on. It's not real. It's not real. I think the allure for Jake Paul, and kudos to him, because I think again, I think boxing is definitely in a terrible place. I'm more of a mixed MMA guy, mixed martial arts guy.
More of a pig wrestling guy myself.
Bare knuckle boxing.
Love it.
Yeah. So,
I like seeing. Actually, I'm not going to say this.
Snacks is more of a cockfighting guy himself.
Yeah, I'm not going to keep going. I can't do this.
Perfect. Okay. I'm going to ask you after the show what you're going to say.
That's fine. We'll see it off the air.
But so boxing, obviously, like, in a terrible place. God. Jake Paul doing a good job at, like, putting it back on the map and making it relevant. What he's so good about, to his credit, is that, like, everyone wants to tune in to see him get knocked out.
Yeah.
But he's also doing a good job at, like,
not getting knocked out.
Picking competition where he's not going to probably get knocked out. I think the only one that was, like, a reasonable opponent was, like, Tyson Fury's younger brother. I forget what the guy's name was. It was a fight that he lost. But I loosely follow it. I don't think it's Tommy worth your Fury. Time to go watch. What's up? Tommy Fury? Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, EJ.
Tommy Fury. So, I don't know.
So, obviously, Mike Tyson is boxing icon, you know, like, one of the best ever do it. You think it's whack to go after the 58-year-old?
Yeah, it's insane. I will say that article was incorrect. I guess technically they were right. His last competitive professional bout was 19 years ago, but he did a fight
recently to another, like, washed up dude, right?
Yeah, a guy in his 50s as well. George.
That was like an exhibition match, right?
Exhibition, but they still went, you know.
Yeah.
10 rounds, I believe.
I'll take you 10 rounds. Anyway.
Dude, this sexual tension is crazy over here.
My fingers is not here. Fuck.
What do you think? You going to tune into this?
I mean, if it's already on Netflix, I got Netflix, you know what I mean? So maybe. But I think the whole, like I can't take Jake Paul seriously until he fights someone like who's like relevant now and everything. But I think the fact that seeing Mike Tyson fight again is pretty sick. And the clips of him training, he looks pretty fucking lethal.
He's still
lethal.
A specimen, bro.
Yeah,
he's still a specimen.
Looks pretty fucking lethal.
Because he'd been coaching up Francis Ngannou, who left the UFC. He was the UFC undisputed heavyweight
champ.
Oh,
is that the African guy? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The baddest man on the planet, hands down.
Yeah. Oh, but he went to boxing and lost, right?
He lost by decision to Tyson Fury, which, again, if you guys, this is why boxing is losing, in my opinion. But if you guys watch the fight, I think, I didn't watch it, but from what I was reading from legitimate people that actually follow, they're like, nah, Francis definitely won that fight. And then he recently got KO'd a couple weeks ago in brutal fashion.
I hate to see it.
But, Tyson still got it. I mean, do I want to go see, like, someone in their mid to late 50s go out there and trade punches with a kid who's younger than me? Couldn't be me. I'd rather go watch high-level martial arts, but...
I'd rather watch two drunk girls in the middle of the nightclub fucking go at it, huh? Oh, you want a real show? Go to one of my sets on a Saturday night.
Catch me outside. How about that?
How about you catch the let out? You want a real fucking show?
Yeah.
You know, I saw this crazy headline, man, and it raised an interesting debate when you walked in, actually, to the studio that we were, me and some of the producers were going at it from our good friend WizKid, Nigerian African artist. WizKid has requested people stop referring to him as an Afrobeats artist. The Nigerian singer, whose real name I will not try to pronounce, say he is wrongly labeled as an Afrobeats artist and said his 2020 album made in, is it Lagos or Lagos? Ado, African correspondent.
Lagos?
Lagos.
Huh? You African? You're Caribbean? See, that's why I didn't ask you. Offered a quote-unquote fusion of different sounds. The 33-year-old star, who also teases upcoming album Morayo, is done. Says those who refer to all African artists as Afrobeats need to educate themselves. He wrote in a statement on his Instagram story, You lost people always want someone to educate you. You got your phone, Google, and research shit to take a flight and see the world. Don't be ignorant and stupid all the time. Listen, am I African? Yes, but I do make all sorts of music, fine music. But I don't want to be labeled just Afrobeats. That's just like saying every American artist makes rap. That's stupid. I actually completely disagree with that, but we'll move on. He continues in saying, this is why no matter how good or amazing the music we make, albeit R&B or whatever other genre, we will all get nominated in one African category or the other. I've made songs from different genres of music. Made in Lagos is not an Afrobeats album. Crazy, because it's referring to an African city, but I digress. That's a fusion of different sounds. Real music, the world Afrobeats was made up by y'all to put all we Africans... we make in one box. Fela Kuti created Afrobeats. I make all sorts of music, a fusion of sounds. Cammy, what are your thoughts?
I mean, is he out here rapping? Is he out here making country music? Is he out here, like, I mean, he, like, let's just be honest about the music. Like, he's making Afrobeats music. And the music that's not deemed Afrobeats, what is he doing, soca?
I don't know.
Well, honest question. Like, I mean, how far off are we, you know, are we getting? Like, I, you know what I mean? I think if someone, like, who would be a good comparison? Like, okay, for example, say Daddy Yankee, right? Would you consider Daddy Yankee a reggaeton artist?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, then. But he's made other records. He's made but if a you lot made predominant if you made predominantly that genre of music, inevitably you're going to be classified as that type of artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's no discredit to like him and what he's done in his career and the type of music that he's been making, but I mean,
yeah, similar to DJing, right? Which is what you said off air.
I said, yeah,
that if I do a bunch of Latin events, people are just going to say that I'm a Latin DJ, even though I can do other genres.
100%.
Yeah, I think very similarly. I think Wizkid being a big pioneer in Afrobeats music, getting and making it mainstream.
Yep.
Especially getting it to the States, and given the fact that he is African, I think it's very, very difficult to separate. You know, I think any kind of music that is remotely close to what Afrobeats may sound like inevitably becomes Afrobeats if he does it. And it's true, like, he has songs and features that are of songs that are like that are definitely hip hop or
right,
that
right.
other things, but that's not enough. If I eat junk food for 300 days of the year. Right? No, I'm serious.
I know.
But only a few analogy. Of the days I eat salad. Do I have a shit diet or a good diet?
It's not a good diet.
See what I'm saying? You don't like that? You don't like that analogy, EJ?
No, that was me saying you have a shit diet.
Oh, thank you. What? Well, I guess not. But anyway, so I think that's the point. I think an example, Ruger, who's another Afrobeats DJ. Well, sorry, he's an artist that happens to do Afrobeats music that's from Africa, I guess. Did a trap song. I don't know if you know this. This is a tour. Or a drill song more so.
Okay. Alright. But like let me ask, right?
To me, there's an Afrobeats artist making a drill song.
Because alright, but like new dance hall right now, right?
Ooh, the Badman shit.
Is it hip hop or do we call it dance? What do we call it? Honestly,
I don't think it's dancehall because I don't think it's danceable music.
Correct, but what do we call it? It's new dancehall.
It's new dancehall.
All right, then. So what are we arguing? I mean, that's just how the music's classified. I don't think it's anything that specifically to do with Wizkid.
Right.
That's just how the music's getting classified.
Yeah. No, I think I do agree, and I know. You know, so someone that was brought up off air in this conversation was Drake, being someone who gets on different kinds of genres and different world music. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's done dancehall, he's done Afrobeats, he's done Latin music. Like, he's done it all, really. But that doesn't mean but he's still what? A pop artist, a hip hop artist, right? At the end of the day.
Yep.
You know, I think even if a song like One Dance, Controller, Work, which all came out in the same, like, 2 years.
Yep, Take Care.
We still didn't look at him as like, oh, now he's a dancehall artist or a Caribbean artist.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That inevitably, he's still that light-skinned Canadian boy making that hippity hop, you know? So I think it's an interesting, I get what he's saying. I think if an artist is an artist, right? I think I get frustrated when people label me as a hip-hop DJ, where I'm like, well, I tour the country doing Latin parties too. So what does that mean? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I get it. But I think it's very, very difficult at this point for that specific artist to kind of backtrack on that.
Especially, and I don't know what the, like, why he's upset by that, because, like, in my opinion, dude, you're one of the founding fathers of that.
Yeah, he's a Mount Rushmore Afrobeats artist.
Like, there, I mean, there's no shame in that. Yes, you are an artist, but, like, you know, like, you do make, you did put that genre on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Like, you were a big part of that, so, I mean, no shame. But, I mean, and again, like, like, you could be classified as an Afrobeats artist and, like, put out different types of songs and albums and stuff like that, but, like, if a majority of your work is that, like, that's inevitably what you're going to be classified as.
Yeah, 100%. Man, sorry, Wizkid. But we love you. And I hope you keep putting out Afrobeats music.
Dude, yeah, my bag needs it.
Yeah, dude. Anyway, thanks so much for listening to another episode of But I Know the DJ. Make sure you continue to show us love. Ask more questions. We love the questions.
The questions were wicked good.
We can't wait to see you guys again. Have a great night. Thanks so much for listening.
Peace.
We'll see you next time.